So I'm Batya Friedman, a professor from the University of Washington. I'm here with Eric Salzman, who is a founder of Creative Commons. And we're interviewing you, Mr. Nyang,
yes.
On October 8th, 2008. And so the first thing I'm going to ask is, could you very clearly pronounce your own name for us?
My name is Manjai Nyang.
Great. And what is your role here, your title here at the ICTR? Currently. And what is your role here at the ICTR?
So, I am currently the special assistant to the registrar, so meaning an advisor. So, I don't have any specific scope of advising. I advise him in running the administration of the tribunal.
Great. And you've been here a very long time.
Yes, in fact, tomorrow will be the anniversary date of my 11th year with the tribunal. So I joined the tribunal exactly the 9th of October, 1997. So I was then appointed as an investigator for the office of the prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent there 2 years and a half before being appointed as a legal advisor to the judges. So then I came here to Arusha to advise the judges. I was then a coordinator,
mm-hmm.
Supervising the work of a team of three lawyers. That I did for also 3 years. And then I was appointed as a special assistant to the registrar. That was in 2003. So I performed those functions up till early 2006. And then I was appointed to go back to the chamber, but in a higher capacity as a senior legal advisor.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I did also for 2 years, and then the registrar recalled me. So I went back to his office,
mm-hmm.
to advise him again, and this is what I'm doing currently.
Well, fantastic. So you have a very broad view, both
yeah.
of the roles and then also
mm-hmm.
the time of the tribunal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, I'm one of the longest serving staff members of the tribunal, and I have almost done everything but defense. I haven't been a defense lawyer here, but apart from that, I think that I have almost done everything.
So if I could just take you back to the spring of 1994,
mm-hmm.
think back in your mind, what were you doing then?
So I should tell you that in 1994, I was in my country,
mm-hmm.
in Senegal. So because I am a judge by training, in fact. So
mm-hmm.
I was in my office
mm-hmm.
in 94 as a young judge, so performing his duty in this, our Supreme Court. I was a junior lawyer in our Supreme Court in Senegal. That was
mm-hmm.
what I was doing.
So were you a lawyer or were you a judge in the court?
Yeah, I was, in fact, you know that in our system, in
mm-hmm.
the Senegalese system, so prosecutor and judge have exactly the same training.
Mm-hmm.
So being a judge or a prosecutor is just a matter of assignment or appointment. So I started my career as a judge, as a young judge, up till 1990 when I was appointed as a junior prosecutor. In the last 4 years I spent now in Senegal, up till from 93 up till 97 was in fact in the office of the Prosecutor General in the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was technically a prosecutor.
So then when did you first hear about the what was going on in Rwanda?
Mm-hmm. So like everybody, because I follow the news. So it was just from TV, because every evening, of course, you know, during dinner time, I watch TV. And I saw at the time also, I used to listen quite often to Radio France International, which is quite popular in my country.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, when the war started and those slaughtering and killings went on, of course, I heard about it through the radio and the television, through the news.
Mm-hmm.
But I should confess that it was a little bit far away from my daily business, yes.
Mm-hmm. So what happened that you decided then to come work at the tribunal?
So I think that, you know, the first time I decided was that our Ministry of Justice circulated a paper requesting interest, expression of interest. And at the time, it was not even about the tribunal. It was just about going to Rwanda and advising Rwandan judge to adjudicate over many, many cases. That was the original idea. And of course, you know, for a young judge who has barely ever left his country to travel, you know, abroad, there was this interest of going abroad and sharing experience with other people. But I should tell at the time, just to indicate you how far away what was happening in Rwanda was to us. Mm-hmm. I remember that when I expressed interest to go to that UNDP experience, the then president of our Supreme Court called me and told me, okay, you know that I cannot forward this paper. I told him why, because he told me, okay, what are you doing there? What are you going to do there? Huh? These people killing each other, you are young, you have your future, why can't you just stay here? Because you have a bright future here. I can't understand that. I cannot forward this paper. And of course, that was the end of that first experience. And I should say, luckily, I happened also at the time to have been working with one of the senior prosecutor in that Supreme Court, who was also very well acquainted with the international environment. In fact, he was even an expert of many commissions, mm-hmm, on human rights. And then when the tribunal was set up, so he stood to be elected as a judge. Mm-hmm. And of course, since I was one of his very close aide, so he told me, okay, if I go there, I'll have to take you with me. So finally, he was the one, in fact, he happened finally to have been the first president of this tribunal, mm-hmm, Laiti Kama. Mm-hmm. In fact, you will see that even one of our courtroom, you know, mm-hmm, has been named after him, mm-hmm, after he passed away in May 2001. Mm-hmm. So in fact, it is thanks to Laiti Kama that I joined the tribunal, because he asked me, okay, you have to come with me. But here again, strange enough, when I came, that was not to serve him as his legal assistant as that would be expected. So I found myself in Kigali doing investigation. At the time, he was already here in Arusha before the first case started. So this is my story, how I joined this tribunal. So, and I should add also that it was really very good for me to have started with Kigali, because that gave me the insight to understand really the sociology of Rwanda, to learn about the story also, to understand really what happened, what took place in Rwanda. Because I was following the news, but I did not have that grasp of all the details, mm-hmm, as to what happened in Rwanda. So having been there, having done investigation for a full year, so gave me really that insight I needed to understand really what was at stake.
What were some of the things you saw or experienced during that first year that you feel really helped you understand what was going on in Rwanda?
Yeah, a lot of reading first, because of course I had to go through many documents to read all material available in respect of Rwanda. But I think that what was really, really interesting for me was that going almost every day into the field and sharing the experience of the victims, because that was basically what I was doing. I remember that when I arrived in Rwanda, 3 days later, I found myself in Butare with a team of investigators going into houses, interviewing victims. You know, many people who are maybe the only people left in their huge family. So that helped me, but I could say that also that traumatized me, because that was also a very painful experience for me. So there are things I still don't want really to remember because, you know, it really traumatized me to a certain extent, yes.